Good morning. Happy New Year. This morning, I always struggle a little bit around New Year's and Christmas with what to say for it to be something different than it was the year before. Because at Christmas time, we're always kind of in that mindset of the birth of Christ and Him coming into the world. And then at New Year's time, we're always kind of in that mindset of starting over, of making maybe a New Year's resolution this year that you're going to try to keep. Something you want to change in your life, something that you want to do differently, something you want to stop doing, whatever it might be. And because of that time of year, that's kind of the mindset I've been going through the week with. But I saw something on Facebook this week that made me kind of rethink what I was thinking. And I thought we would start there and kind of work our way in a different direction this morning with the idea of things that are unchanging and things that are changing. And I think in the world that we live in a world that is constantly changing. Luis even mentioned, great job, Luis, by the way, up here a minute ago with his prayer for the giving, that we're constantly overwhelmed with the latest technology. We constantly have things that are new and different and updated. And could you imagine if we went through 2017 and there was no new version of the iPhone? There was no new version of the Samsung Galaxy. There was no new smart technology. TVs all stayed the same. Nothing all that different. We wouldn't quite know what to do anymore because everything's constantly got to be pushing forward. And it used to be computers were like that, and you felt kind of bad buying a computer because you knew as soon as you did, the next week there would be something better and yours was outdated. But now it seems like so much around us in our world is that way. Where things are constantly moving, constantly changing. And so I thought we'd look this morning at some things that are unchanging. These are 10 things that will not change in 2017. And I stole this list from my friend Kent Job, who is a preacher in El Dorado, Arkansas, who stole this list from a friend of his in college, Donald Sandlin. So, and if Donald stole it from somebody, I can't credit that person because I don't know. So this has kind of worked its way through people over the last 20 years, but I thought it was kind of telling to where we're at today as we go into a new year. First of all, God will provide. And I know we say that, and I know we believe that, but sometimes we live lives that don't always show that we believe that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us not a good bit of stuff, not most of what you're going to need to get by, but everything that we need. And so I think, again, of Luis's prayer a minute ago. There are a lot of folks in different countries who are living in mud huts this morning, and God is providing for them the things that they need. There are a lot of folks that live in great abundance, and God is providing the thing that they need. And we forget sometimes that our needs and our wants are two very different things. And so as we look to 2017 and we think of all the things we might like to have, realize that God is providing for us the things that we actually need. And if we find ourselves constantly in need of something better and greater, maybe we should step back and be thankful for the things that God has provided for us already. Second, prayers will still be the most powerful things on the earth. Now, not everyone in our culture, and not everyone in our world would probably agree with this, but prayer brings a power beyond anything that we can handle on our own. Ephesians 3:20 puts it this way, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And think about that phrase for just a minute. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got quite an imagination on me. And I can imagine a lot of things that I would like to do or have or be. And to know that God can do immeasurably more than anything I could even come up with tells me a lot about His power. And we talked quite a bit about this morning in class as we looked through the story of Daniel in the lion's den, that a lot of His power is through prayer. He desires us to have communication with Him. And Daniel did it in the face of death, but for most of us, it's just in the face of busyness. We get too busy to pray sometimes, and we need to be reminded that the most powerful force we have at our disposal is prayer and the power of God. God will equip us, third, for the struggles ahead. God will equip us for the struggles ahead. For some of us, 2017 will be the easiest year we've ever had. For some of us, 2017 might be the most difficult year we've ever had. And whichever side of that coin we find ourselves on, God is going to equip us for us. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, we find that familiar story from Bible school days of the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. God is going to provide us with the armor that we need to take on the struggles that are ahead. And the way he does that through his word. I think you'll find most of your solutions right here. He does that through prayer that we talked about a second ago. He lets us know how to get in on that power that we can be a part of. He'll give us everything we need. God will still honor the praises of his people. That's why we gather here today. Part of it to remember him, to remember the sacrifice that was made for us, but part of it because throughout all time, God has desired this praise from his people. In John chapter 4, as Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, she's asking about where praises should take place, and he explains things in this way. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. We don't have to worry about whether it's on this mountain or on that mountain. What we're concerned about is, are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Fifth, there will still be a message worth sharing. And I think about that in the context, especially with last week, with the birth of Christ, which is such a familiar story to so many. But yet it is still a story that is worth sharing. It's something that has changed our lives forever, that has changed our world forever. And as he continues his life into the gospel message that we know, that is a message we should share in 2017 with the people around us. Paul says it this way, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." I am not ashamed of the gospel. How will we show that in 2017? How will we show that we are people that want the gospel to be spread? How will we show that we are people that want to live out the gospel in our lives? And the first step of that is being willing to tell people about what God has done for us. There will still be singing of praise to God. We'll still get together here and do that, and I hope you will still do that in other settings too. I hope there are times when there's no one up here to lead a song that you will still, where you're at in your life, sing praises to God. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And let me tell you, you're not filled with something for an hour or an hour and a half a week. You're filled with the Spirit all the time. Over the holidays, we visited my mom's house in Mobile, Alabama. It's the house we moved into when I was 5. And I look around there, and there's so many memories that come in that house. But I looked around, and I thought, this house needs to be painted. And you might look at your house and think the same thing. It's kind of drab in here, and you can tell it's been a while, and it needs some attention. And I thought about the last time that house was painted. There was a guy at the Pleasant Valley Church of Christ, where we attended at the time, whose name was Steve Talbot. Steve Talbot was a painter by trade, and he was really good at it and did a really good job for a really reasonable price. And he knew that the house we were in needed painting. He gave my mom a great deal on the house painting. And she said the thing that struck her was not how nice he was to deal with and how great the job he did and how affordable it was, but when she would be sitting there doing whatever work she was doing and listening, the whole painting crew was either singing or whistling hymns the whole time they were painting. And she said she had never experienced people doing work in that way. I remember having a group over to our church in Searcy one time, and there was one family that decided they were going to do all the dishes from the dinner that had been done. And as I walked by the kitchen of our gym, I hear singing in there. And this family, this is what they do when they do their dishes at night. And I will admit to being guilty of, I put my earbuds in when I do the dishes, and I listen to stuff. I'm not always the one who's singing, but this family is there singing these praises to God while they do the dishes. When you are filled with the Spirit, it is not something that shows up once a week. Are these praises to God in your mouth all of the time? And let me tell you, if you are as tone deaf as can be and can't carry a tune in a bucket, God does not care. This is not a challenge, no offense, music teachers. This is not a challenge of music. This is a challenge of your love for God. And he doesn't care if you're tone deaf. And quite honestly, I wonder sometimes if he might like yours a little more. Because it's not about the music for you, and it's a little bit embarrassing for you sometimes because you don't like to be heard. And yet, when you sing your praises to him, oh, he loves that. And in 2017, he'll continue to love that. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music to the from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let praise be what your life is about in 2017. There will, in 2017, still be room at the cross. Jesus says it this way, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." How many of us this morning are weary and burdened? Even with the start of a new year, there's already so much weight coming down on you. And Jesus says, "You that feel that weight, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus doesn't want you to walk through life burdened. He doesn't want you to walk into 2017 thinking, what burden is coming next? What thing is going to bring me down? He wants you to give that burden to him so that he can carry it and you can carry on. Jesus will still love you in 2017. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He will still love you. He still wants you to love your fellow man, your brothers and your sisters. And he proves his love to you in this, that he laid down his life for you. Jesus will still save the lost when they come to him. And he tells in Luke 19, verse 10, and this is after Zacchaeus has climbed up into a tree just to see him come by and then finds out that he's going to come and eat at his house instead. And in verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's his purpose in coming here, is to find you and to save you. And if he has not accomplished that yet, he wants to accomplish that in 2017. And if you have done that and you have fallen away from him, he wants to bring you back in 2017, because you can count on Jesus. And reliable is one of those things that we have lost a lot of in our culture nowadays. It really stands out when we find something that is reliable and loyal. And in Jesus, we found this in our study last Wednesday night in Hebrews, where we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus that came to seek and save the lost is still seeking and saving the lost. The Jesus who God loved us enough to send him for us, God still sends him for us. The Jesus who had compassion on the least of these still has compassion on the least of these. And the Jesus that loved you at your best, when you're at your worst, still loves you, but just doesn't want to leave you there. And in 2017, he continues not to change. Now, the beauty of all of this story is there is one thing that can change and should change in 2017, and that is us. You and me should do a lot of changing this year. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some among you that are great examples already. There aren't some of us that are doing things pretty well as we go, but we can always continue to grow. We can always continue to mature. We can always continue to do better than we're doing now. And then for some of us, it needs to be just this reminder that we supposedly changed our lives at that point of baptism, if you remember that feeling. And because of that, things should be different now than they are. And we're going to finish these thoughts in Romans chapter 6. I didn't put it on the screens if you want to follow along. We'll be at the beginning of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. God has brought us this promise of a new life, something different, something that is not what we see lived around us, something that is different than the life we've lived before. And if you don't feel like you're living that new life, then today is a great day to start that. And the other beautiful thing about the new life is the old life goes away. And some of us are having a hard time shaking that old life, and sometimes that old life creeps up on us and tends to take over again. But we continue reading here in verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. And how's that happened in baptism, like we just read? We should probably drain this from time to time for all the old selves that are stuck up there. Because when we come out, it is a new self that is now living. And I know it's not in the physical, literal sense of the water something magical, but we have left something behind in there. And we're supposed to be forever changed. And unfortunately, too many of us probably live the life we live with New Year's resolutions, which is February, maybe March if we're doing really good. And gradually things kind of start to get back into the pattern they used to be in. And if you find yourself this morning in those old patterns, then today is a day to change that. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. For each of us, as we have died to sin, it's the same for us. That life is now gone. The life we now live, we live to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not, in 2017, and in the years that come after, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. It's good news, isn't it? Because so much of our world lives thinking people can't change. Once a whatever, always a whatever. That's just how he is. That's just how she is. Oh, well, you know so-and-so. That's to be expected. This year is the year for all of us to be reminded that we don't have to live under that. That God has not only saved us in such a sense that we live with him forever in eternity, but God has saved us from the sin and everything that brings us down here too. God has saved us in such a sense that we can live lives of love in the world in which we live. And let's not just look forward to heaven. Let's look beyond that to what kind of life can we live here for God? What sort of life have we left behind us to live this new life? And this morning, if that's you, you are not alone. There are a lot of us out here who have tried to kick whatever habit it might be, tried to do something differently, to be better, to leave this bad thing behind, and keep getting caught up in it. And keep finding ourselves going back to that same problem, that same dysfunction. Do not give up on that this year. Do not give up on the idea that you can change and leave those things behind. Understand that each of us together, working together, through God's power, through prayer, because he has given us more than we can ask or imagine, because he's capable of doing immeasurably more, we can do this year. This morning, if you'd like to change your life, great day to do it. This morning, if you'd like to take him on in baptism and leave your old life in the water up there too, be a great thing to see happen again this week like we saw it happen last week. This morning, if you just need to change and if you just need to recommit yourself to God this year, or if there's something that we can help you with in any way, please come while we stand and sing.